Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Now, listen, they want me to say hello, welcome to the James Whale best bits of tonight's show, which you can hear every night, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio from 7 till 10. But I said, wouldn't it be best to call it the worst of Whale? So have a listen, see what you think.
The James Whale Show.
Come praise the whale
on Talk Radio.
Now, apparently we should, what should we be doing? Social media blackouts, right?
Yeah.
So this is all part of this thing coming from America. And we talked to a guy from Black Lives Matter last night. People all over the world are posting black squares on Instagram and Twitter accounts as part of the Blackout Tuesday movement following the death of George Floyd, Rihanna, Jamie Foxx, Drake, Nile Rodgers, and music mogul Quincy Jones, oh, I loved his music, are among the stars joining in. Radio stations and other companies have also pledged social media blackouts for the day. Let us talk to our good friend, John Christopher. I never get his other name right. Bauer or Buer?
Buer.
What do you think?
Buer.
Buer. Give me your thoughts on this this hashtag that is trending on Twitter, white silence is violence.
What's scary to me is that I live 10 blocks from the White House, and we had a 7 o'clock curfew yesterday, and the president used his military so he could walk across Lafayette Park, which I do all the time when I go to the White House.
Yeah.
I haven't in a while.
I saw it on TV. It looked very nice.
Because they cleared all the protesters by using flashbangs and rubber bullets and gas. So he could walk across the street to a historic church, St. John's Church, where presidents since Madison, I believe, have gone there. He's not a religious man, but he did go in front of the church and hold up a Bible, and that was why all of those youngsters and middle-agedsters had to be tear gassed, and police and military on horseback clutched them and beat them. So he could make his way across and look like macho man. Here's the reason why. Two nights before, the White House went dark to shut off the lights, and people were complaining that he was hiding in his bunker. So he got really upset with that and had to show the world that he is in fact the ruler, the true ruler. And he told the governors on the phone call right after he got off the phone call with Putin.
But hang on. Listen, I know you're not a John, hang on a minute. I know you're not a Trump fan, but surely...
I believe in the presidency.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it's Trump, not the president we're talking about now. He's surpassed the presidency. He's sort of like a...
He's bigger than the president now.
Almost. It's a shame he held the Bible up the wrong way, apparently, but there we are.
That is bad.
I don't know if he did, but that's what people are saying. Mm.
It was upside down.
Isn't that the devil? Yeah, that means.
But possibly. But you know, the leader. I would hope nobody would demonstrate if Boris decided to walk. I mean, obviously, Secret Service would go with him. But if Boris decided to walk to Parliament, I hope there aren't so many stupid, narrow-minded people who feel that violence is a way to go. And I think America is showing itself up.
I don't defend violence, but I can say this to you. I am a White House correspondent. I haven't been there in quite a bit, because I'm actually afraid that I will catch the coronavirus there. Now, what's really frightening to me is we have these demonstrations all over the country, all over, hundreds of thousands of protesters, young and old. Some are infiltrated by some unfortunate groups, which are the extreme, perhaps extreme left, extreme right, and that's unfortunate. The looting is abhorrent, should never happen. But the thing that's really frightening to me, gentlemen, is I don't know how long these protests will be. It will be every night. We have a curfew here in Washington, D.C. Which will come first, the second wave of the coronavirus epidemic or the end of the marches and the end of the protests? Now, imagine this. Hundreds of thousands, mostly young people across the country, whether you're in Indianapolis, St. Paul, San Diego, Washington, New York, and they're not protected. They don't wear masks. They're not socially distanced. They're breathing all over each other. And there will be a second wave, and that's the tragedy.
John Christopher Buer, who is
Buer.
Talk Media News Buer. Yeah. I said Buer, didn't I?
No, you went Buer.
Talk Radio, Talk Media News White House correspondent.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Ah, yes, it is. So we're going to start off talking about the new voting system in Parliament. If anybody saw that, it was quite funny. Yeah. I watched it live. I thought I'll just watch it and then I'll pop out. And then it got to half an hour. I thought, I can't go on watching this much.
Long-winded, isn't it?
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Let's talk to our good friend Robert Halfen, the chair of the Education Select Committee and also the Conservative Member of Parliament for Harlow. It really is appalling in this day and age that with all the apps that you can't vote electronically or by
app
from your office.
I mean, it's incredible.
It will have to change, though.
But I don't think Rees-Mogg should be allowed to get away with this. I mean, this is just stupid for the sake of being an idiot.
He's been disenfranchised, and anyone who can't go in can't vote. Simple as that.
Can you vote him out of his position?
No, because he's appointed by the Prime Minister.
Boris, yeah.
Yeah. So,
Boris won't. Go on, Robert. Spit it out. Take it out on you.
I mean, I've got no choice in, but I just cannot. It's just a surreal pigheadedness, unbending, just art tradition for its own sake, without any sense of understanding or empathy or just literal rigid, stern.
But do you think there's another reason? Do you think he thinks the people who can't come in, some of them are old, you know, like maybe Jeremy Corbyn, some people. He doesn't want some people to have a vote, so it actually works out better for him.
I think he thinks, as I say, he's like sort of president, the president of Brazil who said coronavirus is just the sniffles. I think they have this view that
he can't think that after Boris Johnson, can he? Can't think that after what happened to Boris.
But I think they think that it's, you know, a lot of them do talk like that, the art traditionalists, that this is just like the flu and we should all go in. But I also think there's some fear, irrational paranoia, that this is going to exist forever, this new system where people would vote online. And which is, of course, nonsense, because the government could easily overturn that because they've got a majority.
Yeah, of course they could. Yeah.
But, you know, walking through the lobbies might be very good and very historical and everything else, but it's a bit of a waste of time, isn't it?
Well, yeah, to be fair to them, it does have one massive advantage. So if I write a letter to a minister about something, I'll be lucky if he or she sees it in about 6 months, because it goes into some goblin cave in the relevant department. And then you get a rubbish reply from some civil servant. But when you're in the lobby, you can go up to that minister and say, I need you in Harlow. I've got a problem. I need you to sort it out. And it's very hard for them to say no. And you can get MPs to sign petitions and bills and letters. And it's very hard because there's so many MPs and the Palace of Westminster is so big. It's very hard to see those MPs and ministers except in the voting lobby. So I do respect that, because I've used it. I've been a nuisance, made a nuisance of myself many times. It's been very valuable being able to lobby people. In fact, people sometimes when I'm walking through with a piece of paper, people run away from me because they think I'm going to ask them to sign something.
I know, it's him again. Yeah.
You can always hit him with your stick.
Yeah, maybe. I don't want to get done.
I mean,
maybe Rees-Mogg.
No,
him. But yeah.
I actually, I thought it was very funny watching people do it today, And I don't think it really didn't need to be like that. The other votes that have already been done from home, it could have carried on like that for a bit longer.
It could have done for the at least a couple of months, and then they could have had another decision about it. I mean, what's crazy is they go on about how much they want Parliament to happen, but all you do is eat into parliamentary time, because if it's going to take an hour for each vote, it means there's going to be less time in the chamber to scrutinise or look at the work of government. Ridiculous. Yeah.
Also, probably cutting back the number of MPs. Everybody says they're going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, there aren't enough seats, are there, for all of them?
No.
So
Churchill did that on purpose, though.
It is very exciting when there is a big event, a historical event or question time or the budget, and it's packed in and there's not enough room and everyone's squeezing and a lot of MPs have to stand around. It is an amazing feeling. It's like being at a football match live. Yeah.
We'll never see that again. Yeah, imagine that with the football matches as well.
20 years' time, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Robert Halfen, the chair of the Education Select Committee, the Conservative Member of Parliament for Harlow.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Now, number 10 says the 2 metre rule is here to stay, but scientists concluded keeping 1 metre apart is enough to cut the risk. Downing Street's confirm that the 2 metre rule will remain in place, even though scientists say it could be 1 metre. A new study funded by the World Health Organization could pave the way for businesses such as pubs to reopen as calls grow for the 2 metre rule in the UK to be eased. Let's talk to Professor Andrew Preston, researcher in bacterial pathogens at the University of Bath. Andrew, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
You got any thoughts on this or not?
I think we're kind of trying to find an answer where you can suddenly go from one distance to a slightly larger distance and the risk goes from some risk to zero. But I'm afraid it's not that case. So it's a gradient of risk. So it kind of comes at where do you place your comfort with that risk? And so... Yeah.
So it is more risky.
Practicalities come in as well, don't they? This is clearly an effort to try and get hospitality underway again.
Yeah.
So, be clear about what your driver for this really is. And then I think we just say, are we comfortable with it or not?
But the World Health Organization, that does say a metre, doesn't it? I think.
But again, it's an arbitrary figure. So it's not as if you're 1 metre and 1 centimetre, the risk is zero. And if you're 99 centimetres, now you're at risk. That's not the way it works, really. And unbelievably, I guess, still, we don't really know fully the role of large droplets that do fall to the ground relatively close to the person that's emitted them versus the very fine particles that actually stay in the air for
the
much longer.
The aerosols.
Travel over much, exactly.
That just stay in the air, yeah.
So when that sort of 2 metre rule was invented, that sort of stems from studies back in the 1930s, where, of course, the camera technology was only really able to pick up those very large droplets. So we thought that all the coughing and sneezing, most of the really large droplets drop to the surface within that 2 metres. But obviously since then, we can image those aerosol particles sort of less than a millionth of a metre in diameter, and they can go on for metres.
So that's why, I mean, maybe lots of us have had this corona but not realised it. That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Well, I think that's also the nature of the infection as well. It's quite clear that when you get enough to initiate an infection in some people, it really is very, very mild, if not completely benign. So, again, we're struggling with most of the factors that give rise to the patterns of disease that we see for this thing still.
So you think it's viral load?
I mean, how many people every year have a cold they don't know about or just a sniffle? And some people get a very seriously bad cold. And flu, I mean, a lot of people could get flu but not be very badly affected by it. Others can be very badly affected by it. So are we just going to have to live with...
Most infections, measles...
Yeah.
For most things, there's this gradient of severity. And I think, as you point out, it's to do with maybe the viral load that you get to start with. Does it overwhelm your defences? And therefore, you get a very severe disease very quickly. Probably all sorts of nuances in your particular state at that time. Other immune defences, tiredness, nutrition. So it's probably a sort of intractable sort of set of circumstances that for most of the time are inconsequential, you know, whether you get a cold or not. It's not life-changing for most people, fortunately, but for something like this, clearly it is.
But could it just disappear? I mean,
but
you know,
not for the majority, though. For the majority, they don't even know they've had it, as far as I can see.
I think you're right. I think the numbers are looking, you know, increasingly like, you know, the number of the proportion of people who are infected, and this is on evidence of either antibody tests or the virus tests, increasingly looks as if that number that never even knew they had it is going up as the more we're able to delve into these population-level surveys. And there's been a few of those sort of classic studies on enclosed environments, such as the cruise ships or that expedition ship that docked in Uruguay, where 80% of those tested positive swore blind that they would never known they had it.
Why does the viral load matter? Because once you get one virus, doesn't it start multiplying anyway?
It does, but again, if you've got a fixed number of immune defence molecules and cells themselves, you know, if they can focus in on a relatively sort of focused area of infection.
All right, mate. Always interesting to hear your thoughts on this, Andrew. We'll talk again. Thank you very much indeed, Professor Andrew Preston, researcher in bacterial pathogens at the University of Bath.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
I like to have a gin and tonic before the programme, but I've missed out today. You're not taking the night off.
Well, actually, I could do, actually, shall I? Yeah, I'll take the night off. Yeah.
No, you shan't, because you take all, you know, you don't. People think you just work part-time. Anybody talks over anybody, it should be me talking over everybody else, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, sir.
25 years ago, you still kind of behave the way you behave now.
Yeah, a bit better I used to behave,
didn't I?
You've
never changed.
Yeah.
In fact, people, sometimes when I'm walking through with a piece of paper, people run away from me because they think I'm going to ask them to sign something.
I know, it's him again.
You can always hit him with your stick.
Yeah, maybe.
You live in a flat which is apparently like a hippie pad.
Who told you that?
I don't believe it. I don't believe it's
any danger at all.
Time, gentlemen, time. The Yanks beating, getting in there. I'm going to calm you boys down.
Okay, phones are open. Do you want me to get rid of Ash or not? That was the clips for today. The worst of Whale, or sorry, the best of James Whale. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed them. Well, I suppose if you didn't enjoy them, you won't be listening, will you? Anyway, I'll be back 7 o'clock until 10, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio. Have a great day. Thank you for listening.